Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's good to be together here as God's people with God in our midst. Our message for this evening comes from Revelation chapter 8. And we've been speaking a lot about prayer, taught several weeks in the Sunday school course on prayer, preached a sermon on John 14, which was very much themed on prayer. And I want to preach one more text on prayer, because I think this is needful for us. Of course, it is needful for us. That's why the Holy Spirit put this in the scriptures for us today. So, Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Hear God's holy, inspired, inerrant, perfect, sanctifying word. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. This is God's word. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for your word and for this word. And we ask, our Father, that you would cause your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to work through this word and through your servant as he preaches your word. We pray that you would lift the veil from our eyes and that you would give us hearts of faith to hear and to believe. And that through it, Lord, you would produce the fruits of a praying people. And so we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the book of Revelation is a book that many are often confused by. There are theories, ways of approaching. And sometimes people just throw up their arms and say, well, you know, why even bother reading it? Because who can figure out what these horsemen and flying creatures and plagues are all about, and these numbers? But Revelation, in one sense, is actually a very simple book, simple but profound. And think about the message, the title of the book, has given the book Revelation, taken from the opening. The book of Revelation was given to us to reveal, to make known to us what we don't see. As you look at history, as you look at the events that are going on in the world, people are always asked, trying to understand what's going on. Why are the things that are happening, happening? And historians try to trace themes and try to come up with theories about what moves history along. All of the human theories are concentrated or deal exclusively with what we can measure and what we see ourselves. But here in the book of Revelation, the veil is torn aside for us to see into the heavens, to see the spiritual realm, to see what's really going on in this world and what is moving the course of history. And it's as we see the big theme of Revelation is that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has been exalted to the position of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he has been given a kingdom that will not end. And yet there is an enemy, Satan, who's seeking to undermine the kingdom of Jesus. He knows his end, and he knows that his time is short, but he's raging against the king, against his people. And Satan is moving a world system against Christ, leading people into destruction. But in the midst of that, the King of Kings is gathering a people for himself from every tribe and nation. This innumerable multitude that he's gathering out from the world and into his kingdom, who are being protected by his power. And one day he will cast, when he comes again, all of Satan and Satan's minions, all of the authorities and principalities and powers arrayed against him. And all who have been aligned with him will be cast into the lake of fire. But Jesus will make all things new. But as we're waiting for the end, how do we live in this present world between Christ's first and the second coming? And the book of Revelation is really given as an encouragement to God's people to encourage us in living in between Christ's first and his second coming, in between the advents of Christ. And here in this passage in Revelation chapter 8, we are given a scene in the midst of the seals being unsealed, and in the midst of trumpets that are about to be blown. We see in these verses a remarkable scene. The veil, again, is torn aside for us to see into heaven, that we might be encouraged that God hears the prayers of his people. God hears the prayers of his people. And God uses the prayers of his people to affect his purposes in the world. And that's really the theme of this passage. Let's look at the beginning. I'm going to walk through, and as we walk through this, we're going to look at a couple of details that bring out these points. But as we begin, we see, as the Lamb opened the seventh seal, verse 1, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Silence in heaven. Now, what is this silence? It's remarkable. In Revelation, of course, as you read through, there's a lot going on. It is filled with action. But here in this scene, we have silence. The silence is the space that's given for the prayers of God's people. Why is there silence? Because in heaven, it is the hour of prayer. This actually is kind of depicted in the Old Testament through the temple and the sacrificial system and the priestly service. In each day, the priest would go in at during the morning and the evening sacrifice. The priest would take incense, burn from the altar, from the coals, from the altar of the morning and evening sacrifice, and he would go in, the one who was appointed for the day, go in and offer this incense during an hour of prayer. And God's people would stand outside praying during this hour. In fact, that's the scene that you see in the beginning of Luke chapter 1, when Zechariah goes in, right? He was appointed to go and offer the incense for the hour of prayer, and the people were outside lifting their prayers. And in this, God was showing them a heavenly reality that when his people's prayers come to him through the sacrifice offered on their behalf, he receives them, he hears them, and he's pleased with them. The hour of silence, or half hour of silence, God is receiving the prayers of his people. Maybe, think of being a parent, father or mother. There's a lot of commotion going on, but when one of your children comes up and you see that there's something on their heart, something burdened, earnest, what do? You turn down the radio and you say, shh, quiet, come here. And you give them your full attention. As our prayers come before the Lord, he gives his whole and undivided attention to the prayers of his people. Now, verse 2, as we continue, he says, Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Now, this incense, the idea of incense, is it's a pleasing aroma to God. As I mentioned in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament economy, the priest would go and he would offer a mixture of incense. The idea being that if the incense rose and God smelled the incense, he would be pleased and receive the prayers of his people. And here we're told that an angel comes with the prayers offering incense. And not just incense, but it says he was given much incense with the prayers. That is, God is not up in heaven with his arms folded, saying, oh, you again? Tell me what you want, and let's hear it, and I might consider it. No, God is pleased with the prayers of his people. The prayers of all the saints. Notice that in this passage, his people are called the saints. In other words, these aren't just the prayers of anybody. These are the prayers of those who have been sanctified and cleansed by Jesus. And who are those? Those are those who are united to him by faith. If you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you are a saint. The saints aren't the super Christians who are in heaven, who have attained some level of sanctification. The saints are those who are in Christ Jesus. You have been washed clean by his blood if you are a believer in him. But Christ has not only washed you clean, but he's put in you his spirit. And he has taught you by his word. And so as you pray, in Christ Jesus, through his Spirit, praying the things that are on his heart, the things that are on your heart by his Spirit, those are the things that are on his heart. And as you are praying for the glory of God, for the hallowing of his name, you're praying for the coming of his kingdom, for his glory to be manifest, his people to be gathered in, his people to be sanctified, God's enemies to be overthrown, and God's kingdom to be to grow and to be established, then God hears those prayers, and he is pleased to hear them. Verse 4, the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Your prayers are heard by God. Do you ever feel like your prayers just bounce off the ceiling? Do you ever feel like the heavens are just brass and there is no God hearing you? And if there is a God, he's certainly not hearing your prayers. Well, here we see that God hears the prayers. As we were praying just a few minutes ago, and as Elder Bob was leading us in prayer, and our hearts were joined together, those prayers were actually going before the Lord, before God, being offered with incense, being heard as the prayers of his saints in Christ Jesus. We were talking in our prayer meeting on a Wednesday about how much we are affected as Westerners by the Enlightenment. And we think, well, what's real is what you can measure scientifically. If you can see it or taste it or touch it, if you can hear it with your physical ears, if you can measure it in molecules, then it's real. But if you can't, it's not. Or who knows it? Who knows if it is? If it is, we can't know. And we're more influenced by that thinking. That's the culture air we breathe. We're more influenced by that than we realize. And so we think of prayer as just kind of a religious exercise, something we do, at best to prove to God that we're dutiful, faithful Christians. Or maybe in our minds we'll kind of say, well, prayer, it's not so much that we're praying for God, to do something. We're just praying helps change us. Now, of course, prayer does change us because communion with God is transforming. But here we see that our prayers, the prayers of the saints, praying the will of their Lord, praying from the heart of Jesus, through the Spirit of Jesus, their prayers are actually heard. But our prayers are not just heard, but things take place because of the prayers of God's people. Look at verse 5. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. When God's people pray, things happen in this world. In verse 2, and as the scene opened up, John says that he saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Now, those seven trumpets we'll see in the coming chapters, the trumpets are blown and things are affected in the earth. But what are trumpets? In the Old Testament, trumpets were used to summon God's people. And so when you heard that, it was a sign of the presence of God coming near. That the trumpets were blown as a sign of, or at the installation of a king. The trumpets were blown at the sound, at the beginning of war. God's judgment on his people. We see at Jericho, the trumpets were blown and the walls came down. These seven angels are given trumpets to blow, to signal, and to start into motion God's purposes. But what's amazing is that they're given trumpets, but they don't yet blow them. But as they're holding these trumpets, we have a half hour of silence in heaven. And then God says, bring the prayers of my people. And the prayers come with the incense. And it's in response to God's, to the prayers of the saints that things begin to happen. Your prayers affect the course of history. God accomplishes things through your prayers. I think this is such an important truth, because we are so prone to unbelief. Do my prayers really make a difference? Do my prayers affect anything? And even as Reformed people, we can use and misuse our theology in our unbelief. I remember about 10 years ago, as the Lord was just uncovering my own heart, just revealing to me how much unbelief I had in my heart. And his mercy and grace started encouraging me with his word. But I remember as I was God began to expose this unbelief in my heart, I realized that I was so often hindered in my prayers through a thought process that went something like this. God is sovereign. He's declared the end from the beginning and everything in between. And yes, that is true. That is the testimony of Scripture. God is sovereign. But then I began to reason, well, if God has ordained that something would come to pass, even if I don't pray for it, will it come to pass? Yes. If God has ordained it, in his eternal counsel, then it will come to pass. And if God has ordained that some things would not come to pass, even if I pray for it, is it going to come to pass? Well, if as God has ordained and his eternal counsel will not, then no. Therefore, my prayers don't really matter. And that was the logic of my unbelief. Now, is God sovereign? Absolutely. Has he ordained the end from the beginning? Absolutely. But God has also ordained the means. And the means that he uses to accomplish his purposes are the prayers of his people. Your prayers really affect the world. Your prayers, the prayers of the saints, really affect the course of history. I see this. This is the testimony here of Revelation. But it's the testimony of history. How did a small house church in China grow to millions and millions under the communist regime? Through the prayers of his people. I was reading an article recently about the fall of the Berlin Wall, and there was a pastor, a Lutheran pastor there in Berlin, who organized a prayer meeting in 1983. And this prayer meeting grew over the course of the next 6 years. And they assembled a large gathering at one point near just before the fall of the wall. And the people were praying that God would overthrow the communist regime. And as they were gathered together, even in the public square, the officials, there were so many, as they heard them praying to God, the God they claimed not to believe in, they were afraid to mess with the people. And that became a catalyst for this relatively peaceful tearing down of the Berlin Wall. God hears the prayers of his people. I was also reading Hudson Taylor's autobiography. If you like missionary biographies, it's one of the best. But in the beginning of his biography, in the first chapter, he speaks about prayer. And he said, there are going to be not a few people surprised on the great day. There are going to be not a few people who themselves were never permitted the opportunity to go to the mission field overseas, who are going to be not a little surprised at how much of God's kingdom was advanced through their prayers. And he mentioned the prayers of his own father. 7 years after he had been in China, he returned home, and his father shared with him how, before he was born, he had prayed to the Lord, "Lord, if you would give me a son, if you bless me with a son, I pray that you would use him to minister to China." He himself had a burden as a young man to minister the gospel in China, but was unable to do it, and had prayed, "Lord, if you give me a son, use him in China." And then decades later, he was sharing this with his son, as his son was coming back from 7 years in China. The Lord hears your prayers. So think about Bridgeton. Think about Cumberland County. And we think, well, what is it that moves? What is it that moves the course of history? What is it that really changes the course of history? And we tend to think in our sort of fleshly thinking, well, it's, you know, the presidents of nations, the men with political power, armies with tens of billions of dollars of military technology at their disposal, They're the ones who change the course of history. They're the ones directing the course of history. But here we see in Revelation that it is the unseen God and the Christ who we do not now see, who we will one day see, who is directing the course of history. And he's directing and accomplishing that course through the prayers of his people. Prayer meeting with 14 people on Wednesday here is eternally more powerful than the U.S. military. God hears the prayers of his people. So as we think about Bridgeton, we see the darkness here. We see people bound in sin. We see sin rampant, people in bondage. We see Satan, the principalities of powers, wreaking havoc on families and communities. I mean, it seems that the church is just small and seemingly ineffective at impacting the community around us. Hear these words from Revelation. Turn the eyes of your heart to the scene, to the throne of God. Look with the eyes of your heart beyond the veil and see God in heaven receiving your prayers with much incense being offered as those who've been sanctified by Christ Jesus, as those in whom the Spirit has been given, those who were told by your Lord, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. God hears your prayers, and when God's people pray, things happen here on earth, and his kingdom advances. So may the Lord encourage your hearts. May the Lord encourage the hearts of people here in New Hope. Take heart, saints, and let us pray in faith, knowing that the Lord hears our prayers and that he will act. Let's pray. Lord, our God, we thank you for your awesome power. We thank you for these words, for giving us this revelation to show us, Lord, what is really happening in this world. And though we can't see with our physical eyes your throne room, Lord, though at times we feel that our prayers are meaningless or ineffective, Lord, we thank you for this word. Strengthen our hearts to know that you love to hear our prayers, that they truly come before your throne room into the silence that you have ordained to receive the prayers of your people. And we pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of our Lord Jesus, that as we pray, Lord, his will would be accomplished through our prayers. And it's in him that we pray. Amen.